WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Ballard Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
This is my brutality!
I eat, sleep, bleed, the demons in your dreams. I eat, sleep, bleed.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. You can subscribe for free with Twitch, with whatever the hell they call it now. It is the purple button down at the bottom of the screen. Click the button and you can get a free sub for 1 month. And, you know, support the channel, so do the thing because reasons. And, of course, you can also follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
It's a Wednesday. We're not here on Wednesdays. But we're here for a special Wednesday edition of the Rack, because tomorrow's an Eagles game, and I'm watching an Eagles game. And maybe a Phillies game.
We're manifesting a Phillies win.
We'll see. They're currently winning 3-1, but it's early in the fourth inning. So we'll see how that goes. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, at Lindsay, call to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live tonight, because we got a PLE to talk about, which is this Saturday live on the ESPN app and Netflix internationally at the great start time of 8 a.m. Eastern. So that should be fun for all.
I realized 8 a.m. on a Saturday, by the way, is brutal. I realized I'm going to be awake for it.
Yay. Congrats.
Because I have to drive people to the airport and they're leaving. Their flight leaves at like 7 a.m. So I have to have my ass up and out of bed at like 5 a.m.
So
to take them to the airport.
So live tweets incoming.
If I'm awake, if there is enough coffee to keep me awake, because all likelihood I'm going to come home and I'm going to pass out. But yes, maybe live tweets incoming. We'll see. But yeah, I realized that the other day. I was like, oh God. I'm going to be awake for it. Oh, no.
You could stream the audio and stream the audio of the pre-show in the car.
No, we're not gonna do that.
But you could.
You're right. I absolutely could because I will have the car to do it. But we're not doing it because it's not my car.
It's fine.
It's fine. What they don't know won't hurt them.
What they don't, it's, you listen, it's basically sports radio. Come on. It's fine.
And honestly, I don't think... as long as it's not video, I don't think anybody would care. But we will have to see. We will have to see. Like I said, I may come home and I may just crash into bed and pass out. Or I might not. I might lay in bed and watch wrestling. Either way, we have stuff to talk about. Because like you said, we have news. We have notes. We have a PLE that we get to discuss. So I say we don't waste any more time and we jump right into the news brought to you by friends over at MBJ Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And this is a weird story. Kind of. Santos Escobar, his contract expired. On Monday, his contract expired. He was without a contract for about 30 hours. He decided he didn't like it, and he re-signed with WWE. So good for him. Congratulations.
He rejected their offer. He rejected their offer because it was probably not what he wanted. Then they went back to it. So the time passed. He probably, you know, they probably, hey, this is what we can offer you here. And then probably this is what I want. And they probably met somewhere and went, okay, we can do it.
We can do it. What it felt like, though, is, you know how, like, for the snow, you, like, have the pets put their foot outside in the snow, and they're like, no, and they just walk back in. That's what it felt like.
I mean, a little bit.
He's like, yeah, no, I don't like this. I'm not cool with this. I want to resign.
So, WWE management considered his creative concerns, and they made Escobar a sizable, larger offer than originally of any of the previous overtures, and then they agreed to terms. But he is back as of sometime yesterday, so it may have not even been 24 hours or 30 hours. It may have just been 12 hours. But they reached out, so I look for a push incoming for one Santos Escobar. And see what happens.
I sincerely hope they do, because I feel like he's a really, really, really good talent for them.
Yeah.
He comes across very well. He's great in the ring. And he had a really good thing going down in NXT. And they brought him up, and it just kind of went wah-wah. And he was with the LWO. And then they all kind of sort of went their separate ways, but didn't. And so, like... I feel like they should push him. I feel like they should do something with him because he could be an asset for them.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
So good luck, Santos. Welcome back. This makes me smile because this is actually really cool. So Bayley is launching a new initiative to give back to the industry and help other women's wrestlers improve. Bayley revealed that she will be holding a free 3-day seminar for women's wrestlers in Orlando from December 4th through 6th. There are limited spaces available, and the seminar is only open to wrestlers who've already had experience. She's asked interested applicants to email her at lodestonewoman@gmail.com, and she wants them to send basic information and some of their past matches. So that's really cool of her.
Yeah, and that's lodestonewoman@gmail.com. That's cool. She gets to give back. Something she's wanted to do for a while. So now she has the opportunity this December to do so.
So go sign up if you're interested. Limited time and availability, so go sign up. And last but not least, Xavier Wood has re-signed a multi-year deal with WWE, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, his came down to the wire in September to kind of get stuff done, but they finally came to an agreement. He's going to be there for another 5 years. We learned today as well, Kofi Kingston, earlier this year, signed a new deal with WWE to keep him around about the same time period as now Woods would be. So they're locked in for another 5 years together.
The bad days is going to stick around together.
They used to be aligned, like all three were aligned together in terms of their dates. But due to injury time and stuff, they're no longer in sync. So that's why Kofi resigned earlier this year and Woods ended up coming down to the wire here in September.
Well, I'm happy that he's staying. I'm happy that they're both staying because they've got something going in the heel gimmick and they seem to be finding their stride with it, especially with like all the funeral stuff that they're doing. So good for them. Like, keep it up, keep going. And I'm looking forward to see where what happens.
Yeah, should be good.
So up next we have AEW. Exciting news for them. Haruka Shida has re-signed with the company. I can speak. I swear to God.
Yeah, she has re-signed a new deal with them. She got her visa issues fixed. She hasn't been seen in the company for about 10 months at this point, maybe 11. So it's been a while for Shida to be around, but she will be back at some point as she has signed a brand new deal with AEW to stick around.
I didn't realize she was having visa issues. That sucks for her.
It happens. It kind of is, you know.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does. Well, good for her. I'm glad that she's resigned. Tommy Dreamer is set to induct the Beautiful People into the TNA Hall of Fame, and Victoria, aka Tara, will induct Mickie James, so that's exciting.
Yeah, this weekend at Bound for Glory this Sunday. Yeah, the 12th is Sunday? Yeah. They'll be both inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame at Bound for Glory, which features now the Dudleys versus the Hardys in a tables one final table for the TNA and NXT tag team titles. Think about that.
That's crazy.
Because the Hardy Boys in 2025 are your TNA and NXT tag team champions.
That's insane. That's, I mean, good for them, but that's just absolutely insane.
They've held everything now. They've held all the belts I think they could possibly ever hold, which is crazy.
I thought they'd held the TNA tag titles before.
But they're the NXT, there's the NXT ones.
Oh, the NXT ones.
That's the new belt that they've collected.
May it not be a long run?
No, it's going to probably be for a couple months.
That's long.
But with the NXT WWE partnership, it's really the TNA NXT partnership, it's not that long. Seeing as Trix held their title for like 3 months.
Yeah.
Clowney Jordan has the TNA Knockouts title. I mean, who knows? We'll see how long it goes.
We will definitely see how long it goes. And last but certainly not least, the Laredo Kid has announced that he is no longer with TNA Wrestling, so it remains to be seen where he's headed.
Yeah, a lot of contracts are coming up for TNA because they've run shorter contracts. So he probably won't be the last one that's running up. So here we are.
Well, plus it's pushing into the year, fourth quarter. I know they sign throughout the year, but like I imagine there seems to be like signing periods that they go through each quarter, and it's kind of the start of Q4. So it makes sense that we're seeing a lot. They seem to sign people at the beginning and the end of the year, and there's not, and maybe like some mid.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We will indeed see what happens. But are you ready to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Okay, so when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Crown Jewel, which will be live from Perth, Australia on Saturday. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what
they didn't like,
and
what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Mm-hmm. like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you, always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad, because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins,
and you're listening to the Rat Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And yes, I know, but I don't like
you. You autopilot it, Prime Gaming.
I've been doing this for 10 years like this, okay?
It's just an autopilot my brain. Of the thing. Anyone heard of
I
the
tried to change it. It tried. It didn't work. I got the button.
That's a button, but that I think it's more concerning that you still just went Prime Gaming, even though Prime Gaming no longer exists, even though it's the same.
It still exists to me. How about that?
Do you know what who the Try Guys are? Have you ever heard of them?
The Try Guys? No.
Apparently they were a viral group of some sort. Anyway, one of the former members debuted or wrestled for Ring of Honor tonight. At the TV tapings.
Oh. Good
but
for
I looked it up. The Try Guys are known for testing a wide range of activities such as testing their sperm count, raising toddlers, shaving their legs, and wearing women's underwear. I'm just reading Wikipedia. It's what it says.
Okay.
They worked with BuzzFeed, so that would explain
the weird.
the weird. I just like that the first thing is testing their sperm count. They're not known for anything else but testing how much sperm, what their sperm count is. That's the standard in those days.
I'm more concerned about the list of things, that it's testing their sperm count, watching toddlers, and wearing women's underwear.
And shaving their legs. Don't forget about that.
Shaving their legs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of a disturbing list. None of those things are necessarily wrong on their own, but grouped together, I have concerns.
Yeah, I would say I have concerns as well.
Especially right now, I have concerns about that. But to each their own, I guess.
I guess.
Changing subject, I saw that Triple H's daughter is starting to wrestle.
Congrats.
And Roman's daughter, apparently.
All right,
like, then. Roman Reigns has a daughter that's old enough to wrestle, I think. Unless it was AI.
It may have been. AI's been taken over lately, so
Hunter, I believe, because Hunter and Steph had kids young-ish, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I was like, oh, God. Oh, God, I feel old.
Here we are.
Kids are starting to wrestle. Oh, God. Like, the day the Undertaker's kids show up, I'm just going to have to get up and walk away from the TV. I'm just going to have to do it. This is gonna be, it's like, I support you, but I feel old. I feel so old. But anyway, we are not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about Crown Jewel, which is going to be live from Perth, Australia this Saturday. For your East Coast folks, it will be on at 8 a.m. with a pre-show starting at 6 a.m. So get your coffee, get your breakfast, and sit down and watch some good quality wrestling. For everybody else, Godspeed, because that is just entirely, you might as well, for West Coast, not even go to bed. You get to watch that one overnight.
So
which sucks.
What you're saying is Brent shouldn't go to bed. That's what you just said, right?
That's what he did last time. He didn't go to
I know.
Bed. He just stayed.
I know,
late.
But I'm just saying, you. That's what you're telling him. You're already telling him to stay up
I'm
all
not
night.
Saying anything.
You just suggested that.
I didn't use his name specifically, but if Brent decides...
You said West Coast, and he's West Coast, so...
He's Arizona. Arizona isn't West Coast.
They're on the West. He's on West Coast time now.
For right now, until daylight savings kicks in, and then he's right on Arizona time.
So you're talking about him right this exact moment. That's
Not
what you're
specifically,
doing.
Specifically, like I said, if he wants to... He's welcome to. He's done it before, but he doesn't have to. In fact, I think I'd rather prefer Brent get sleep. Rest is good for him. I don't like that the clip button just popped up.
What clip button?
In chat. The clip button just popped up.
Oh, you hit the thing.
No, I didn't hit anything. I didn't touch anything. It just kind of popped in. But yeah, no. If you're on West Coast, I'm so sorry. I'm just so sorry. That's gonna be like what, midnight, 1 a.m.
What for? No, it's 8 a.m. 5 a.m.
So, but if it's 5 a.m., so like 2 hours back, so that's 3 a.m.
Yeah, 3 a.m. for the kickoff. Yeah, that's fine.
Y'all fine. Have fun with that. I'm gonna recommend you sleep and then watch it after the fact. That seems to be the general consensus, because. I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. to watch wrestling. I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. to do a lot of stuff. How about that? But we have, and for our international friends, this will be
enjoy.
On Netflix. so, yeah, enjoy. Check your local time and availability for it. Here in the U.S., it will be on the ESPN app if you have it. So, yeah. Let's get into it, because we have 5 matches on this card. Pretty stacked show, if you ask me. And they got the local folks on, which is really cool. So where do you want to start?
Well, I don't have the card in front of me, so you pick where we go. I'm just now thinking, man, so Raw's on at 8 a.m. I mean, SmackDown's also on at 8 a.m. local time. Huh, okay.
Tomorrow?
Well, that did... No, when they're taping it, they'll be at 8 a.m. our time. So if you can watch it, it would like be, if you have international Netflix, you'd be able to watch it.
we don't have international Netflix. I mean, well, I guess technically we do because it's international to Australia, but it's they don't have a deal with Netflix for Raw or SmackDown, which is really disappointing.
Don't they? I thought they did, no?
For international?
Yeah.
Not for SmackDown.
Yeah, no, SmackDown's international is on Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know if it's in Australia, but I know when they were in the UK and stuff, it all was on in the afternoons on Netflix. Anyway, let's get into the show. All this stalling has helped me figure out how to get back into the Wheel of Names because they locked me out, and then they locked me out, and they no longer. I had to figure out they no longer let you sign in via Twitter, so I had to migrate my account to a different account to get all my
Sign in via Twitter.
No, they removed that function now. So you have to migrate your account.
Rude.
I know. So I had to figure out that I was signed in via Twitter first, and then migrated over. So we have all of our wheels again.
Yay, we have our wheels of fun. Woo!
Pick a match. Random, go.
All right, let's talk about Roman Reigns and Bronson Reed. This is a last-minute addition. It will be an Australian street fight, whatever that means. But they're getting Bronson on the show. He could not go last year because he was celebrating the birth of his child. So good for him. But he's on the show this year, so he gets to perform in front of the hometown crowd, which is exciting.
It is very exciting for him. He'll be there to be able to perform for Crown Jewel. He'll be there for Monday Night Raw. Two big shows in front of his people. Should be a lot of fun for big Bronson Reed. As far as this matchup goes, we had it back at, what was it, Paris they fought? I believe
it wasn't a street fight in Paris, was it?
No, it was not a street fight in Paris. It was a straight up match in Paris, and Roman Reigns got the win, and then they stretchered him out
because he had to go shoot a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So will Roman get his revenge here? Is the question. Oh, okay. Sorry, I was like waiting for him to respond, and then it's like, nope. So will Roman get his revenge on Bronson? We've had some back and forth between the two since Roman came back from shooting the movie. Bronson will have Heyman in his corner, which will play a very curious factor in this match because, as we know, Heyman and Roman, I don't think are on the best of terms, but Heyman is never one to kiss away a meal ticket, as it were, especially if Roman's interested in getting him back. And so you feel like Bronson needs to win, otherwise he looks weak. And yeah, I would say that I think a win here would help Bronson, especially since it's a singles match. It's a street fight. You can have people get involved in this, aka Bron Breakker. He can roll up and he can help Bronson Reed fight. So I think it just depends on how they're going to do it. I expect this to be decent. I don't know how all out they're going to go with each other. Like, I would expect a level of physicality with these two, just because it should be present. And based on what we've seen from the brawls, we should get something kind of fun from it. But I don't expect this to be like anything spectacular. I think they will do enough to sort of set the tone, because I would expect this to open the show, where you send Roman out first and you have Roman sort of go out and set the tone with Bronson, and then everybody else goes after.
Maybe you open with Rhea.
Maybe you do open with Rhea. I don't know. Like, I would be fine either way, but I could see this or Rhea's match opening the show. But it'll be a fun match.
It would be a fun match, but I'm one of the man's that I think Bronson needs to win.
Agreed.
I think Bronson, the opportunity was there was at Paris to give him the win, but they ended up with Roman getting the win. Roman, Reed and Roman open a clash today. Roman's an opener or a closer. He's not a mid-card guy. It's kind of his deal.
Roman is not closing the show. I'm just going to be really frank about that. You have the two world champions fighting each other. Roman is not closing this show over them.
I'm not saying he is, but normally he's not like a mid-card guy. But I also could see them putting on Rhea to open the show. But I think I would open with this match because it's going to have a lot of the bells and whistles, and you kind of can get away with.
Yeah, I think this will be better than what we saw in Paris. Because I recall from Paris, it was decent, but it wasn't, I think, anything spectacular. So adding the stipulation onto it will definitely help it.
Yeah.
So I think it will open, and I think it will be a good opener, and then it depends on what they follow it up with.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going Bronson Reed over. Okay, so I'm trying to figure out how the story continues. If Bronson wins, it gives more motivation for there to be some sort of encounter at Survivor Series where Roman and his Avengers would need to get revenge on the Vision. It would make more sense for the babyfaces to have a reason to go after the Vision. That's where I see it. I think Bronson winning with the help of probably Bron Breakker setting up whatever his War Games is going to be would be the result here.
Yeah, I expect full-on shenanigans in this. No question. I expect Bron Breakker to show up. I expect Heyman to play a factor. Because like I mentioned when we kind of opened the discussion, there's the history between Roman and Heyman that they can kind of play on, and Heyman can sort of run distraction on Roman, right?
Yeah.
For Bronson to take advantage. So I'm going to go Bronson. Like, did the Usos get involved? Maybe. Possibly. I could see that happening, where you kind of have, like, the Usos, and you have, like, to set up with Roman, where you have that sort of, like, pseudo-reuniting of the original bloodline. But I think at least Jimmy might help. I don't know about Jay.
Well, Jay says he has the back, so we'll see. I think you'll get a, whether they get involved or not get involved, there will be something that happens either on the show or the follow-up on Raw.
Yeah, I could see like a post-match beatdown of like Roman between the two Brons, and then that's when the Usos come in to make the save. And they start to set up like War Games that way. But I'm going Bronson. You're going Bronson?
Yeah.
Wow, you had to think about that one, didn't you?
I did.
Like, I don't know.
I did.
All right.
You get to do the thing.
Eight ball, Bronson, I look good.
Wheel.
Wrestler one.
Roman Reigns. All right. Up next, we have the other hometown favorite coming onto the stage. Rhea Ripley and Io Sky taking on the Kabuki Warriors in Asuka and Kairi Sane. This has been a very psychological feud between all of them, where Io's sort of been pulled away from her friends by Rhea, and Rhea's sort of been Io's great protector, as it were, because nobody beats Io except for Rhea. And well, Asuka is kind of spiraled out of control a little bit, and poor Kairi is just kind of caught in the middle, but maybe not as unwillingly as we would be led to believe. This should be stellar. This should be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And if I had to pick between the first match and this match, I'd rather this match open.
You also put this one halfway through and get the crowd hyped again.
True. You could.
There's a way you could do it. Again, who knows the order? But I just know from Roman experience, he's usually never mid-card, but it's wrestling. Stranger things have happened.
He's not the tribal chief anymore, so he can't call all the shots.
He is still the tribal chief. He's the one and only tribal chief. He's still the head of the table. He just doesn't have a belt. He has an Ulafala. But no, this one should be really good. This has been one of the mainstay stories for Raw, I would say, over the last 2 months. Kind of building the relationship between Rhea and Io, them going from enemies to frenemies and kind of having each other's back. A lot of respect going on, even dating way back to, they've been kind of paired together in many different varieties ever since February, because they worked together when Io beat her for the title. They worked WrestleMania together. They worked Evolution. They've kind of been tied to the hip in one way or the other. Now they get to be partners in Rhea's home country. And Asuka came back in May, and she's kind of been running in the form, and Kairi has been running back in the form, both coming off injuries. The crowd could be really hyped. You four really talented workers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a real win, because the Kabuki Warriors have had their number on television a lot. So it makes a lot of sense for Rhea to get the win. Plus, it's in her home country. That makes it even more like a plausible win. But yeah, I would have Team Rhea win on this one.
I think you can get away with Rhea winning and then having the Kabuki Warriors beat Rhea and Io down afterwards.
because the thing with the Kabuki Warriors is they aren't quite on the same page. Like, I think Kari's hesitation is going to play a little bit more of a factor in this, where she hasn't quite, like, she's on that cusp of either falling in line with Asuka or going out on her own. Because the thing for Kari and the way that they're playing it for Kari is she doesn't want to hurt her friends, right? And she's friends with both Asuka and Io. And she's trying to desperately hold that middle ground between the two, where it's like, I don't want to hurt either of you. I don't want to betray either of you. But both of them are going in opposite directions and they're on a collision course with each other. And then Kari's caught in the middle of all of it. So I think ultimately what this story will be in this match is Kari's choice and what she's really going to do. Is she going to fall in line with Asuka and is she going to fully just walk away from Io? Or is she going to betray Asuka and kind of just like walk away from Io and Rhea? And kind of go out on her own, and then Kari and Asuka have to settle things between them. And that's sort of where that goes. And I think Kari will choose Asuka, because this is probably meant to continue, especially as a tag feud right now. So I can see Kari just saying, okay, all right, I see where this is going. Like, Io is with Rhea. She's walked away. There's nothing left here. So I'm going to make my decision. I'm going to go with Asuka. So I can see Rio and Io picking up the win and then, yeah, like a beatdown afterwards. But I think this is going to be a really, really, really stellar match between these four, because it should be.
I'm going Team Rhea. You're going Team Rhea, which means the 8-Ball is going.
8-Ball is going 8-Ball? Kabuki Warriors? Yes, definitely.
Wrestler 1.
Who's Wrestler 1?
Wrestler 1. Is Rio, Rhea, and Io? Rio.
Rio. I mean, that's Rio? A shit. That's a ship name, Rio.
Rio, but Rhea and Io.
I don't know if they're in the war. Maybe they're in the War Games for women.
I don't know how they're going to do the War Games for the women. It's gonna be a weird setup, because you kind of have, like, we're going to talk about it, Stephanie and Tiffany going, but you don't really have any factions for the women that are like going against each other. You don't really have any like big women's factions like what you used to have. They've sort of narrowed it back down to tag teams and singles.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be curious to see how they set up the women's War Games. If they're going to have it, they may not even have one this year.
No, they'll end up having one, and they got time to kind of piece it together. Probably Becky, Warriors, and maybe Nia and someone else. Honestly, if you do it, you could do it. But again, this keeps it Raw heavy, and you gotta probably get a SmackDown thing going. Because it depends how the men set up. Because that could also be a Raw one. Bayley, Lyra, one side. Raquel and Roxanne, another. And then maybe you combine the Kabuki Warriors with Raquel and Roxanne. And you get a fifth. And you put Rhea and Io on the team with Bayley and Lyra, and you put a fifth there, and you figured out not for till Rumble.
Okay,
that's how I would build it. But, I want to put them in War Games. No, you may do the singles at Survivor Series for them. I don't think they need them in War Games. That's too much star. That's too much in there. I mean, you could, but I wouldn't, because they're kind of an outside thing. Do you really need a leader? Kind of don't need a leader.
I wouldn't put AJ and Becky in War Games. I wouldn't do that.
Oh, I would try to think of what the fifth would be to kind of build the sides. Honestly, you could do. I was thinking Julia and Stephanie on the either sides as the final one, because they kind of were teasing them a little bit on SmackDown, but they're two champions, so I don't know what you do there. I don't know, so we'll see how TV develops, but I at least know those would be my 4-on-4. You can figure out a fifth for each side. What's next?
All right, up next we have, they said it wasn't going to happen, and then they made it happen, John Cena versus AJ Styles.
He gets to beat up John Cena one last time. This also explains why AJ Styles is not going into the TNA Hall of Fame this year. He's going to be in Australia and not in Lowell, Massachusetts. This should be a really nice tribute for both men. I think this matchup plays more to the matches Cena had with Sammy and Cody compared to anything he's held prior. Discounting the Brock one, the stuff with Randy and stuff. I think we lean more to a really good match. Even the Logan Paul match. This should be in par with them. I think they're going to get plenty of time. They'll let the story breathe. And they're going to put on what really could be, for both men, their last match in Australia. Unless AJ gets to work on Raw. But one of his final matches in Australia. Because AJ is done next year. Who knows when, but his clock is ticking up. Time's almost up. And Cena's done. So this will be a good way to send it off. And AJ said on Raw, they don't need a story. They're just going to probably try to steal the show. Honestly.
Okay. But sure, Dan.
You don't think so?
You have Cody versus Seth. You have Stephanie versus Tiffany. You have Rhea and Io versus the Kabuki Warriors. You have three fairly stacked matches that are going to be tough to beat. And while AJ and John can still go, AJ and John can't go at the level that they used to. And that's more on John than it is AJ. So I think the match will be good. I think it will be very entertaining. Will it be match of the night?
If the two of them have their way and really want to, they honestly could.
They honestly could. Like, if they both put their working boots on and they both really go out there and full send it, I think they could. But the thing with John's matches is that they've been decent, they've been entertaining, but they haven't necessarily been, like, what I would term barn burners. And you kind of, like, at this stage, you're going into the expectation that they're not going to be, right?
I would disagree. Him and Sammy had a barn burner on SmackDown. You probably didn't see that one. That was a really good match. And SummerSlam was really good, too.
SummerSlam was good, but again, it's John now versus John back in the day.
Oh, I get it. I'm just saying, if they wanted to, John has the stroke enough to say, hey, I'm doing all this shit and we're going to get it in and we're going to have this match.
Oh, yeah, that has definitely.
That has the potential to steal the show.
I'm not saying they're not going to try. And I welcome them to try. Like, if they feel like they can pull it off, freaking go for it, right?
Because this is the last time you two are going to go. Because here's the thing. Cena needs to cleanse the palate from the Brock stinker. He's got to fix it. So that's why I say there's more potential for them to steal their show, just because he knows he has to, if that makes sense.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I don't think it should be on him to clear it, though. Like, that's the thing. And what pisses me off about the Brock stinker is that you did it when you knew he didn't have a lot of chances to fix it. And now you've made it really, really, really awkward. And I understand that they thought it was going to go a lot better than it did. Like, I'm sure that was the general perception when that match got put together is, oh, we're going to go out there. We're going to try to recreate the magic of Brock essentially destroying Cena, not realizing that the magic just wasn't there anymore. That Brock essentially did not show up in the condition to be able to do what he had done before. And so, like, they did the best they could, I guess. I don't know. I really seriously don't know, but it kind of pisses me off that it's like, well, it's on Cena now to fix it, when it really shouldn't be on Cena to fix
but
it.
But it's a pride thing, though. Like, it's a pride thing with him. If he knows he has to have a better match.
I understand that, and I respect that, but, like, here's the thing. Him having a really, really, really fantastic match with AJ is not going to erase the Brock match. It's not going to fix the ending of his retirement run, because the match with Brock did a lot more damage than I think they realize it did. And at this stage, with the booking of his retirement tour, they're just throwing matches together. There's no story involved. Like the end, technically the end of John Cena's like story, if you want to call it that, was when he lost the title to Cody and he passed the torch to Cody. And if they had ended his run right fucking there, it would have been fine. Like it would have been totally fine. He went out on his back. It was great. But they kept going and they kept throwing matches out there. And at this stage, all that goodwill that they had leading up to Cody, like getting that title from John, is pretty much gone. And they don't have the story to be the capability to tell the story to fix it.
Because there's no time.
Because they have no time, right? Because John doesn't have appearances left. Like they burned everything early in the year, and rightfully so, to tell the story that they wanted to tell. And the heel run was not the most fantastic thing in the world. I think they tried something and it just didn't work or it didn't pan out for varying reasons. And so they turned him back face and they fixed it kind of. And you had that ideal ending with Cody. And he's been putting on good matches, but it's like at this stage, like when you did the Brock match, it's like you should have just had him leave. You should have just had him walk out and like been and just had the final like grouping of appearances just be him walking out and essentially waving his hat. Because it's really difficult to come back from that. It's really, really, really difficult to come back with that. Like if that's what you were going to do, that's how John Cena should have gone out.
Cody match should have been the ender and it should have been the last match.
I agree with that completely. But it's like, if you're going to continue this run and you're going to just throw together matches, then you should have done AJ last month. And then you lead up with Brock or up with Brock. And the very last thing that we see of John Cena is Brock just destroys him. And he goes out that way, is just destroyed. And then he never sets up in the ring again. But the ending of the story should have been Cody. That should have been it. That would have been the perfect way to conclude this run. So I get it's a pride thing. Like, I understand it's a pride thing. But nothing they do is going to wash the taste of that match out of anybody's mouths. Including Cena. Like, that's kind of one of those things where it's like, you had it. You had the perfect ending. And you completely fucked it up. And that's what this run is going to be, is they had it. They had the perfect story. They had the perfect ending. It had its bumps along the way. And then they just completely, totally fucked it. And no amount of dream matches will ever fix that. Because that's what people are going to remember about this, is the rub to Cody and the Brock match and the heel turn. That's it. Those are going to be the highlights of this. And he's going to have to live with that. So if they want to go out there and they want to have a stellar match and they want to put their working boots on, I say go for it. Try to steal the show. Let's see you try to do it. But like nothing, even for pride, nothing's going to fix that. Because that's the kind of thing that haunts you. Anyway, you know?
Anyway, Cena wins?
Like, I don't know. Like, there's no story, which kind of pisses me off because there should have been a story and we didn't get it. That's the other really disappointing part of it. I guess you have Cena win just to make up for the fact that he lost to Brock. I guess just to prove that he still has it. I guess it's LOL Cena wins.
I'm going
unless
to
you have interference.
By who? Two baby faces.
Whoever's getting Cena for War Games or the end. And that's how you set up the last match, is you have...
No.
Like... Because it's got to be somebody that's like, well, it doesn't have to be. Like, there's, I guess it doesn't have to be anybody in War Games if he's doing War Games that he's going to fight in the final match. But it would be nice if, like, that's how you set it up.
There's a rumor of how they're setting up the final match, and I kind of like how it is. But we'll see if they do it before we talk about it. And I also like the idea. Yeah, I'll tell you later. Anyway, I'm going Cena.
I guess I'll go Cena. I guess. I don't know.
What does the A-ball say?
Abel, Styles, Cena.
Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Which is?
John Cena.
Okay. Congrats, AJ.
We're with you. Up next, we have... They can't, LeMans. They can't... Like, every time Cena shows up, it's an appearance, because I propose that they could do like a backstage interview, and you just have Cena, one, like his last appearance, film a whole bunch of stuff, and they can't because the way they've set it up is every time we see John Cena, it's an appearance.
They had Cena in the pandemic and didn't film anything. They had him, they wasted time with him. They didn't have him do things. When he had a run before, he was doing dark matches and not television. They're not using him unless he's there live. I think that's what he wants. So that's where we're at. All right, what's next?
All right, up next we have Stephanie Vaquer, your Raw Women's Champion, taking on Tiffany Stratton, your SmackDown Women's Champion. Have these two ever gone?
I don't think so. They teamed up in NXT a few weeks ago, but I don't think they've ever gone one-on-one because they've been on... Tiffany was on the main roster, Stephanie came to NXT, then she was on Raw. So yeah, this is the first time they will go one-on-one. I made this point on Sunday and had Brent research it and made it get the factual statement behind it. Tiffany Stratton has not lost this year. She's not been pinned at all. So you either break that, you either tell that story of how Stephanie's the first one to do that, or you let Tiffany continue her undefeated streak for the year. And I think it's more impressive and more important that her first loss be when she's beaten for the title. I think that's more impactful. Her losing here and kind of ending that momentum would leave, hey, we've done this all thing all year where she's cashed in. She's been champion since the beginning of the year. You kind of just let that momentum go. It kind of would feel weak. Hey, I lost this match here. But would you rather have them lose the undefeated streak then?
Stephanie, the question is, are they doing anything with it?
I mean, they have mentioned multiple times she has not been beaten on television. Again, someone has to lose in these matches. It's not a title. She's not losing her first title match. She's not losing the first match she's had since winning the championship. It's a champion versus champion match. She can lose. It's okay. Does not make the title look secondary. Tiffany loses, does that make that title look secondary? Again, you gotta figure this one out a little bit. And with how I have the main event going, the SmackDown women winning, and then the Raw guy winning, kind of how both shows get a win. But she's had a reign, but she's undefeated. You don't blow an undefeated streak. It's not about the title, it's about the undefeated streak. If your champion hasn't been pinned and you protected her so much, she should be pinned for the first time to lose the championship. It's more impactful. That's the point. It's more impactful if the champion loses the championship for the first time being pinned. It's a bigger statement. Her losing a champion versus champion match, then she just goes on back to about what she's doing. She's lost the match. You kind of kill the momentum a little bit. Stephanie can recover. That's why I'm going with Tiffany.
I think it's where does the value sit in terms of WWE? Who are they looking at as far as a push is concerned? Because at this stage, Tiffany is a long-standing champion. Yes, she does have an undefeated streak. That is important. But I do agree with LaManza's point a little bit that this is her first match really as a champion.
It's different if she was defending the title. She's not.
And I agree with that it's like Stephanie could technically take the loss here and be fine because she can recover it. I think it's the question of how they're going to frame this. Right? Because this is kind of like, this is not like the men's match. This is, I think, more of a friendly competition between Stephanie and Tiffany of champion versus champion, right? And you could have shenanigans in this because aren't Tiffany and Jade having issues with each other?
I mean, I want to call them issues. Jade keeps losing. They're not issues. Also, Jade's another...
Who bloodied Jade?
Naya.
Who's responsible for bloodying Naya? Okay.
I think.
It
was Naya, Jade, and Tiffany. So I don't know who did what. It just happened.
But, you could have some shenanigans here if you want to protect the undefeated streak, where But essentially, somebody goes for Tiffany, and Stephanie gets hit, and Tiffany's able to take advantage.
But you don't have another babyface interfere in a babyface match.
No, you have a heel.
But I'm saying you said Jade. So if Jade came in, she's another babyface in a babyface match.
Could they turn Jade?
Not here. How many things do you know Tiffany has an undefeated streak? Because they mention it on television. They mention it all the time, especially in the big matches. They mention she hasn't been pinned.
But at the same time, okay, let's flip it for a second. So Tiffany has not been pinned this year. So Stephanie pins Tiffany. Does that perhaps motivate Tiffany shape, or form?
That should make Stephanie the number one contender because she beat the unbeatable.
But if Tiffany pins Stephanie, then doesn't that make Tiffany the number one contender?
No.
Why?
Because it's a bigger deal beating the unbeatable than just winning a regular match. Like, you beat the champ. You really beat the person who hasn't taken a loss. Stephanie's taken losses this year. She's beatable. She can recover.
I don't see it like that. I think you can have Tiffany take the loss. I think you can have Stephanie take the loss as well. But I'm kind of leaning more towards the fact that they are really high on Stephanie. They're pushing Stephanie. They're strapping the rocket to her. And I think Stephanie needs the win maybe a little bit more than Tiffany, just to continue to cement her in the position that they've put her in.
Mm-hmm.
Because her title win was especially hard fought. Not to say that Tiffany's wasn't. But Tiffany has been a champion since Mania.
Before.
Before. You're right. So she's a long-standing champion. And yes, the undefeated streak is important, but it's also not. Like, if this was for the title, like if it was Stephanie versus Tiffany for the title, I would say that the undefeated streak would play a much larger part in this than it just being a friendly competition, you know? But this is just Tiffany. And it's unfortunate that they built it to this and they keep saying this for Tiffany, because now they put themselves kind of in an awkward position. I don't know. Like, I don't want to see Tiffany beat Stephanie. That's just it. Like, I would rather see Stephanie win.
I have my view on undefeated streaks. I thought they kind of blew it with Bianca at WrestleMania, and I hope they don't blow this one.
They tend to blow undefeated streaks.
They do.
Just say.
But you gotta make them count. Anyway, I'm going Tiffany.
I'm going Stephanie. Okay, 8-Ball. What do you say? Stephanie? All signs point to yes.
Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
Who's Wrestler 1?
Wrestler 1 is Stephanie. So congratulations to Tiffany.
Why? Because why would you say that?
Because the two inanimate objects have aligned with me, so I'm fucked.
Yeah, but it's not all. Everyone's not picking everyone. That's the only way you do it. When it's all four, then you have a problem.
But it's three.
Anyway, what's next?
Up next, we have in your what I'm assuming to be your main event, Cody Rhodes, your undisputed WWE champion for SmackDown, taking on Seth Rollins, with likely Paul Heyman in his corner, the Raw World Heavyweight Champion. This has a little bit more stank on it. We've had Cody and Seth going back and forth with each other, exchanging barbs with each other. We've had a lot of self-reflection from Seth, especially surrounding Cody and sort of what this match means to him. There's a lot of story going on with this. Where Seth is maybe having a little bit of doubt about beating Cody and the meaning behind all of this. And it seems to be motivating Seth in a new and slightly different way than what we've seen from him before. He's been much more serious as of late, especially because he views Cody as a very serious threat. So what do we say here? Who wins this?
Cody doesn't need another ring. Cody is the guy who always beats Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins finally needs a win. Like, that's kind of how things go. And Paul Heyman is going to have a plan in place to make sure Seth Rollins gets a win, whether it be calling a beast to fly 20 hours to Australia to help, whether it has Bron Breakker and big Bronson Reed interfering to make sure Seth Rollins wins. I think the heels will figure out a way to come out of Perth with the ring, because with the ring comes the power, and Seth Rollins loves the power and the cockiness. He if Rollins loses this one, it's another. He's now down 0-4 to Seth Rollins to Cody Rhodes in these in big matches. Since Cody's been back in WWE, Cody doesn't need the win.
Oh, most definitely not.
Cody is kind of directionless right now. He needs. This year has not been Cody's best year. He lost the title to Cena, took a couple months off, figured his way back into a championship picture, and then had to film a movie. Cody hasn't been focused. Cody needs motivation. Cody needs a story, because right now, Cody's book is kind of blank. And Cody losing here would be motivation for the QB1 to kind of get back to being QB1. And it would also lead to motivation, say, if the Avengers need people for Survivor Series War Games, to kind of be on the team of the Avengers to take on whoever the Vision can put together. I think storyline purposes, Seth Rollins should get this win and finally reestablish himself. You want to talk about making things secondary? Rollins losing would make the world title seem secondary, and they've said it on television. Rollins needs the elevation. Because if Rollins is going to take this to Mania, he needs to kind of get elevated some more as world champion. He needs a big win over the biggest star they got in Cody Rhodes. And kind of reset the path for Cody, reset Rollins in a higher direction, and bring some interference. And this boils back down to why I said the Cena match could steal the show in terms of best match. Because this one's going to have clusterfuckery at the end. And it will take away from whatever. And it will take away from a traditional match of the night, because there'll be a lot of clusterfuckery at the end with the heel winning. And it's okay to not have the babyface go over at the end in this Perth, Australia show to send them home happy, because they get to come back 2 days later and watch Monday Night Raw in the same country.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Seth Rollins.
I think I'm going to agree with you on this, just because I feel like what could play into this too is Cody's own cockiness, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've had sort of Seth, you've had almost a role reversal in a lot of ways, where Seth is very unsure about this and really what this means. And there's a lot of high stakes, because you've had a lot of pressure from Heyman as well going on Seth of, you have to win this. You have to beat him, or essentially you're nothing. Like, for your plan to work, you have to beat Cody. That's just it. And Cody knows that pressure is coming down on Seth, and he's been playing off of that. And he's been just increasing that pressure on Seth. So I can see possibly Cody's own cockiness kind of getting in a way. I can see, I'm seeing all the shenanigans in terms of the Vision getting involved and trying to help Seth. Heyman will likely get involved. I don't know if we will get a Beast incarnate. I pray we don't. Just because I feel like Brock would be a bit overkill for this. Because if it was champion versus champion and both titles were on the line, then okay, yeah, I could give you Brock, but because this is a non-title match, I don't see a need for Brock. I think you can get it done with the bronze, and it's perfectly fine. And this is how you set up the men's war games, where you have the Vision versus Cody and whoever's going to stand beside Cody, whether that's the Usos, whether that's somebody else, you know, Punk and Knight and whoever, you know, you have Cody's Avengers show up, save the day kind of thing. You have Roman show up, which would be really weird. But you have pretty much anybody that's there show up for Cody's side versus Seth's side. And you kind of go from there, as it were. But yeah, I think for this, like you said, Cody doesn't need it. Cody is so good. I think they're trying to do something with Seth. They're trying to reestablish Seth. I'm going with Seth on this.
Going Seth.
Eight ball. Cody. It is certain.
Wrestler one.
Cody Rhodes.
And before we go, you do Cody, Cena, Roman, Usos, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could. You definitely could.
As your Survivor Series 5 against The Vision, McIntyre, insert heel here.
Would Brock do War Games? Could you Brock to do War Games?
Brock could do anything. Do you want? Okay, it's more. Do you want to be in War Games with Brock? He's done a chamber.
I mean, same I don't want Brock there.
Same concept.
Yeah, but you. The question I think it's more: can they get him to do it?
Write a check. He'll do anything.
This is a fair point. Gonna argue with that. But that, or that does not, it for us. So.
Or it's not Cody, and it's Punk. It's not, I'm responding to Mance. If it's not Cody, then it's Punk. But anyway, yeah. We're done?
But anyway, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio Sunday. It's WTR Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern to review Crown Jewel Monday night. It's the Raw Post Show. We're not doing Raw Post Show. That's right. Because it's 8 a.m. We're back in another week from Monday for the Raw Post Show whenever Raw ends, which should be back to normal times. And we'll be back to our normal day and time next a week from Thursday for the Rack. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. It's the Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get to podcasts, search the Rack Radio Show. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Just a Prime Sub. Use it for free here by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code Rock and Sock or
Lin's M Ward.
When you buy all the Fortnite Mayor, Scooby Doo, Doja Cat, and whatever else they have cooked up for Fortnite Mayors. Because we are
#, Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SymbolLin'sWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward 0. And while you're liking and subscribing and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilms, youtube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi because he has amazing content and we love Matt here. And while we're also loving and manifesting things, we are going to say go Birds. We're going to say go Phillies. And we're going to hope for the best for tonight and for tomorrow for Rock, because go Philly sports. Go. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week for the fallout from Perth. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.